Welcome to Beta Finch, your AI-powered earnings breakdown. Today, we're diving into T-Mobile's second quarter 2026 results, and Jordan, this one's got a lot of moving pieces.
It really does, Alex. But before we get into it, this podcast is AI-generated content for educational and entertainment purposes only. Nothing we discuss should be considered investment advice. Always do your own research and consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
Right, thanks, Jordan. Okay, let's set the scene. T-Mobile's CEO, Srini Gopalan, came out swinging, calling this another extraordinary quarter. And honestly, the numbers back that up. Postpaid service revenue up 13% year-over-year, total service revenue up 9%, core adjusted EBITDA up 12%. Those are big numbers for a company this size.
And the headline stat that jumped out at me was their net promoter score, 46, which they're calling the highest NPS in wireless history among the big three carriers. That's not just a vanity metric either, because it's translating directly into subscriber growth. They added 277,000 postpaid accounts in second quarter.
Let's talk guidance, because CFO Peter Osvaldik gave a lot of detail here. Full-year service revenue guide stays around $77 billion. That's 8% growth. Core adjusted EBITDA guided between $37.10 and $37.5 billion, roughly 10% growth. And here's a nice surprise for shareholders. They actually raised free cash flow guidance to $18.40 to $18.80 billion, up $200 million at the midpoint, mostly thanks to lower cash taxes.
What I found interesting is the postpaid ARPA story. Headline growth was 2%, which sounds a little soft compared to that 13% service revenue number. But Osvaldik explained that's a comp issue. Last year's U.S. cellular acquisition and the fiber joint venture brought in lower ARPA customers. Strip out the M&A noise, and ARPA actually grew 3.7% year-over-year. By the end of the call, he even said they're now tracking toward the higher end of their 2.5 to 3% full-year ARPA guidance.
That's a good example of why you have to listen past the top-line number. Now, one thing investors should flag for third quarter, they're expecting postpaid net account additions to drop to around 250,000, way down from the pace we've seen.
Right, and management was upfront about why. They're doing a rate plan modernization in third quarter that's expected to temporarily bump up account churn. But they specifically noted it's concentrated in accounts with fewer lines, so phone churn impact should be much smaller. It's a deliberate plan dip, not a demand problem. Speaking of churn, actually, postpaid phone churn came in at just 0.85% this quarter, down meaningfully year over year.
Let's get into the strategic stuff because there was a lot here. Fixed wireless broadband continues to be a huge growth engine. They call it 5G broadband now, and they're running under what they call a fallow capacity model, basically only selling broadband capacity that would otherwise go unused on the network.
And they got a great question on this from an analyst worried that FWA is eating up too much network capacity. CTO John Saw pushed back pretty firmly, saying capacity is still several multiples of what they're actually using. And that AI traffic, which everyone's worried about, hasn't materially hit mobile networks yet because most AI workloads live in wireline data centers, not on phones.
They also reiterated their target of 15 million fixed wireless customers by 2030 and interestingly said that number doesn't even include upside from new spectrum they're eyeing, C-band 2.0 and 2.7 gigahertz, which could become available in 2027 and 2028.
That spectrum conversation was a big theme throughout the Q&A. Management was clearly excited but also cagey on specifics. Srini compared this moment to their earlier bet on 5G standalone, saying they see it as another chance to cement network leadership ahead of competitors. They're being deliberately vague on how much they'll spend, which makes sense given they haven't seen final auction details yet.
On the capital return side, they bought back $2.5 billion in stock during the quarter and through mid-July. Since starting buybacks back in late 2022, they've now retired 253 million shares, bringing shares outstanding down to about 1.07 billion.
One thing worth noting for investors, Osvaldik was pretty clear that they're keeping some capital in reserve for those upcoming spectrum auctions, so buyback pace going forward may be a bit more measured and opportunistic rather than a steady quarterly number.
There were also some fun tidbits. They launched live translation as their first network-native AI feature. They're testing edge AI use cases with partners like Figure AI, and their T-Mobile Visa card with Capital One has been one of that program's most successful co-brand launches.
And on the broadband bundling question, T-Mobile pushed back on the way AT&T frames convergence stats, while AT&T cites 45% of internet customers also having wireless. T-Mobile's chief customer experience officer Andre argued that if you count multi-line and device bundles, their number is closer to 70%.
So stepping back, what's the takeaway for investors here?
I'd say the core story is durable premium growth. Strong network perception is driving higher value customers in the door. Port and ARPA is running about 20% above port out ARPA, and CLVs are up double digits. The near-term wrinkle is that third quarter net adds will look weak because of the planned rate plan modernization. That's expected and shouldn't be mistaken for a demand slowdown. The bigger swing factor for 2027 and 2028 is going to be how they play the spectrum auctions and how much capital that requires.
And as always, everything discussed is AI-generated analysis for educational purposes. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Please do your own due diligence.
Well said. T-Mobile heads into the back half of the year with strong momentum, a raised free cash flow outlook, and some big strategic bets on the horizon with Spectrum. We'll be watching closely for updates as those auctions take shape.
That's it for this episode of Beta Finch. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time as we break down another quarter.
See you then.